Welcome to the DIDX and Techistan podcast channel, where we bring you the expertise and innovation from around the world. Today we have with us Darren Schreiber. He's the co-founder and CEO of 2600 Hertz. We'd like to start this off with the title of the April 26, 2001 article on GigaOhm by Stacy Higginbotham. The title was, Need a VoIP Cloud? Just whistle and roll your own. The article has been tweeted 125 times or more and liked on more than 73 Facebook pages. Pretty awesome. So, Darren, I was wondering if you would give us some background on 2600 Hertz and about you.
Sure. So the 2600 Hertz organization and even its name really focuses around the concept that the phone network has been proprietary, closed, and almost secretive for almost 100 years, and we're in an era now where it's finally being opened up quite dramatically. People for about 20, 25 bucks a month through service providers like a bandwidth.com, for example, can basically log in and get access to the SS7 network, which is extremely powerful. But the software and facilities to power that access and what you can actually do with that access is still quite complex. And I think in order to crack open the real opportunities of, you know, allowing people to communicate more freely and in different ways will only be realized by opening that network as much as humanly possible.
I know that many businesses and ideas and innovations today in 2011 are changing how people do business and even accomplish their social goals using cloud computing, voice over internet, and so on. But I just wanted to know, in particular, how does 2600 Hertz project change how people do this?
So I think that one of the most difficult parts of being able to get access to this awesome network that connects the world is to make it easy to actually get connected and to get started. So the biggest thing that I think we're focused on is making it really easy for people to deploy an infrastructure that meets some of the standards of the old SS7 network, that it's highly reliable, it's highly available. It always works, but allows them to have ownership over that network and still be able to, you know, hook it up to their own servers, their own equipment, and their own infrastructure so that they can provide whatever value add it is that they want to offer the world. So I think the goal is to really simplify the operational aspects of running your own VoIP infrastructure. And I think we make that easy by automating deployment, and I think we make that easy by having simple APIs to interact with our switching software.
What types of entities, people, and organizations would be perfect to take advantage of what you're offering?
To be honest, our original target was small IT providers, people who had, let's say, 50, 20, 30 companies all over the US and all over the world, where they manage the computer and other infrastructure, you know, network infrastructure for those people. Those folks' jobs are really changing. People expect when your IT guy gets there, he knows how to not just fix your computer, but fix your phone. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a natural extension for those companies to be able to sell phone services into the organizations where they are already trusted. It turns out that what we've discovered is cable operators, CLECs, and larger enterprises, they have the same issue. And while we did build our infrastructure and software to scale, we just never expected those customers to frankly not already have something that serves this need. What we're finding is that they either do have something that serves the need, but it's very, very expensive and very difficult to manage, or they don't have anything. So a lot of carriers, cable companies, rural operators, people like that, even some wireless companies have contacted us to say, look, we know how to carry the traffic. We know how to get the phone call from point A to point B, but we don't have any features on top of it, or we don't have any monitoring tools, or we don't have any ability in our infrastructure to be flexible and move data centers when the costs get too high somewhere or scale up. So there's been interest across the board, but frankly, the majority of the interest does seem to be coming from the enterprise and the carrier markets, especially people who resell services.
Yeah, and Darren, actually, after listening to that description, your company and what you're doing and our company with the DIDX, we kind of serve the same clientele, but with different pieces of the puzzle. And what I find is what you're doing and what we're doing at DIDX is helping these kinds of organizations to not only reduce cost, get customers, but to retain them.
Correct. And that's a huge missing piece in VoIP. Nobody ever sends us an RFP that asks us, if we have automatic failover and redundancy and can monitor the circuits automatically and actually tell the customer what's wrong with their SIP headers. They ask us if we have voicemail. They ask us if we have, find me, follow me. They like the features, but they're used to the SS7 network's reliability, so they don't even think to ask that until later when the thing doesn't work. The reality is that the majority of our focus has actually been on the uptime and the quality of service and making that information more easily accessible to people. And then coupling it with features. But we spent the last year really trying to solidify the platform so that it was solid. And there's a big reason for that, which is that I think that that's a kind of overlooked portion of this whole industry. So that really is a big target of ours. And I think what you guys do is allow people to connect in a reliable way to the same network that we're trying to allow people to add features to. So yes, it's extremely complementary.
Exactly. So I was thinking about other companies who may be providing something like 2600 hertz. I'm not really familiar, but I was thinking maybe, is it anything like Twilio or Tropo? And how is it alike, each of them, and different? Now, I know we both respect both companies, but I'm just kind of wondering what is alike and what is different.
So I think on the surface they look a lot alike because we provide APIs as the access point. And that in and of itself is somewhat new to the telecom industry. So a lot of people like to say, oh, you're just like Twilio, when we tell them that we provide APIs to use the service. But actually, I think it's completely different. Twilio is for people who don't want to be bothered with running the infrastructure, frankly. And so is Tropo. And those people tend to be okay with paying 2 or 3 cents a minute, which in the world of VoIP is actually reasonably high. To deal with traffic. They just don't want to be burdened with it. I think that we are specifically targeting people who do want to run their own infrastructure, who do want to take on the responsibilities associated with finding the best carrier, filing your own taxes, figuring out how to get computers in various data centers. So I think our main target is really more towards, how do we get these CLECs on board so that we can enhance their infrastructure versus offloading their infrastructure. Now, we can offload their infrastructure, and that would probably be the only time that we would be similar to those companies. But it's really not our core focus. The core focus is how do we strengthen and how do we optimize people's own VoIP switching systems, and then how do we help them monitor and manage those systems? But they're their systems. Twilio and Tropo want to be the system that you use and rely on, and that's a very different model.
Okay, all right. Appreciate that. Now, after listening to this podcast, I know people are going to be wanting to get in touch with you, do business with you. So I was wondering if you could tell us where people can go to find out more, your contact info, blogs, business profiles, conferences you'll be at. So fill us in.
So if you go to www.2600, that's 2600hz.com, on the top right, you'll find our blog. We try to put engineering-related blog entries up there that talk about our infrastructure and what we're up to, but also some of our outlook on the market. There is also access to our deployment tool and our carrier services access and some other items that may be of interest. But I suspect most people will actually want to play and the open source tab. Now, one thing we haven't mentioned is, to be clear, the platform that we're talking about is open source. So we want and encourage people to download this for free and install it. The only way that our company is successful in optimizing infrastructures is if we lower the price and make the barriers to entry non-existent. That's kind of our goal. We make our money on monitoring and consulting and making sure the thing is running, but we don't really make our money on the software. So that we give away for free, and we rely on the community to help us optimize it and enhance it. So I think if you go to www.2600hz.com, you'll find a lot of resources there. There's actually a really helpful video on the front page that tells you exactly what we do. It takes about 2 minutes to watch, and it pretty much summarizes everything quite nicely. That would be my suggestion for getting in touch with us.
Okay, and I like the idea of the video. I think video is very important. All right, now conferences. I heard that you guys were going to be at ITW next week.
Yep, we'll be in Washington, D.C. and at ITW, and we have a booth there, so you should be able to find us. I think it's a little farther to the back, but if you hunt us down, we'll be there.
All right.
So you should be able to find us there. And then we also have some upcoming podcasts or speaking engagements.
Well, I'm really hoping that we'll meet up face to face at some of the conferences. I can't go to ITW next week, but I'll be at some other ones that are listed at dididx.net/events, and such as IT Expo West in Austin in mid-September. And so, Darren, before we close out this podcast, I was wondering if you would comment on trends.
Sure. So I think that one of the best things I'd rather point you to somebody else's writing. One of the best things that I have run across that's been in response to our GigaOM article in our first release is by a gentleman named James Barnes, who's been in wireless for 16 years. And I admit I'd never met James Barnes. I still haven't. And we hadn't even chatted, but this article popped up on my radar as a response to the GigaOM article. And he titled it, "Death of the Phone Call is a First World Problem." And he basically talks about how voice is being commoditized to feature status. And I think he's absolutely nailed it as to what we're really up to. Frankly, better than I could have. So I would highly recommend going to his article. The link is a bit long, so Suzanne, I'll let you go ahead and post it on your website there at DidX. But
sure. And you said that people could Google it. So what's the title?
Yeah, so if you look for "Death of the Phone Call is a First World Problem," you will find this article. It's short. It's a quick read, and that's actually why I like it. He's really nailed what we're up to with a couple of supporting links and a really good read pretty quickly there. So I was quite impressed that he understood the idea so quickly, because a lot of people, frankly, have a hard time understanding what we're doing. So I would highly recommend just taking a glance at that article, and that's where I would like to leave you.
All right. Well, I think the title is a thought provoker, a conversation piece, as well as this podcast. I'm really glad that Stacy over there at GigaOM kind of pointed me to you, and looking forward to meeting you in person and wish you the best. I know you're really busy. It took me a while to get you on podcast.
Thank you so much, Suzanne. I do appreciate the time, and I appreciate being with you guys here.
All right. Thank you.